Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of ADVA Optical Networking for the full year 2017 IFRS financial results. This call is being recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I now hand over to Mr. Stefan Rettenberger, ADVA Optical Networking's Senior Vice President, Marketing and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you and welcome from my side. This earnings call, built on a presentation which is available for download in PDF format from our homepage under www.advaoptical.com in the About Us/Investor Relations section. Should you not have the presentation in front of you, you may want to access it on the conference calls page in the financial results section of our investor relations website. Before we will lead you through the presentation, as always, please be informed that this presentation contains forward-looking statements with words such as believes, anticipates, and expects to describe expected revenues and earnings, anticipated demand for optical networking solutions, internal estimates, and liquidity. These factors are discussed in greater detail in the risk report section of our annual report 2017. Please also be reminded that we provide consolidated pro forma financial results in this presentation solely as supplemental financial information to help the financial community make meaningful comparisons of our operating results from one financial period to another. This pro forma information is not prepared in accordance with IFRS and should not be considered a substitute for historical information presented in accordance with IFRS. Pro forma operating income or loss is calculated prior to non-cash charges related to the stock compensation programs and amortization and impairment of goodwill and acquisition-related intangible assets. Additionally, as already stated in our last earnings call, from Q3 2017 onwards, non-recurring expenses related to restructuring measures are not included. Unless stated otherwise, all numbers are presented in euro. We will target to limit this conference call to 60 minutes. As usual, Brian will start to provide a business update and outlook. Then Uli will walk us through our Q4 and full year 2017 financials. And finally, we will have sufficient time for your questions, which we'll be happy to answer. So Brian, please go ahead with the business update.
Thank you, Stefan. My voice is not as strong as normal because I had a head cold this last weekend. I'm on the mend, but I still have a little bit of an issue with my voice. We will move to the business update and outlook on page 4. Q4 revenues came in at $117.2 million, up sequentially from $111.2 million in Q3, and down annually from $128 million in Q4 2016. Our revenues were within guidance and provided on October 26th of between $115 and $130 million, including revenues from MRV. Q3 pro forma operating increased sequentially to €4.5 million, or 3.8% of revenues, up from minus $0.8 million or minus 0.7% of revenues in Q3 2017. This result is above the midpoint of our guidance we provided on October 26, 2017. After the Q3 revenue drop caused by two customer-specific events in North America, one of which was due to M&A activity beyond our control, we reacted promptly to the new boundary conditions by adjusting our cost structure and returning to profitability in Q4. Our carrier and enterprise business in Europe continues to be strong. The integration of MRV, which we acquired in August 2017, is progressing well and has already proven to be highly accretive. Moving on to page number 5, prospects for 2018. We are rebuilding our balance sheet. Remember, in 2017, we had a strong start in the new year with significant ICP revenue contributions in Q1 and Q2. This revenue contribution declined in the second half of 2017. In 2018, we will backfill with new business from other areas while still aggressively pursuing new ICP opportunities. We have already won a few small ICP footprints over the last month. According to our plan, we will be profitable, generate cash, and continue to tightly manage our cost model throughout 2018. The MRV integration and our restructuring initiative yielded more than €20 million annualized cost savings from our peak OPEX costs. With this, we expect moderate single-digit revenue growth and a return to a pro forma EBIT in the mid-single-digit range when measured in a percent of revenues. Longer term, we believe we are ideally positioned for continued success based on the strategic investments we've made in our business. With the FSP 3000 Cloud Connect, we successfully introduced a new architecture for programmable and open optical networks. We have established a differentiated software architecture for virtualizing network functions with our Ensemble offering, which we have won with Verizon as a customer. With the acquisition of MRV, we have extended our customer base for cloud access solutions to support our global leader positioning. And we have been advancing our technology leadership in network synchronization, increasing our presence among large network operators. On the three next slides, I will outline my view on our position with our different customer groups. Moving to page number 6. Private enterprise networks. We have been serving private enterprise customers since our early beginnings. This customer segment represents a smaller total available market than our other customer segments, but we are the global market leader in addressing the various application segments within the enterprise. As is the original DCI company, we have served Fortune 500 companies around the globe with best-in-breed data center interconnect solutions to build their business continuity and disaster recovery solutions. Furthermore, security and information technology is becoming increasingly important, and more stringent data protection requirements are impacting the cloud. Thus, our leadership in encryption has helped us to sell differentiated solutions to the enterprise. ATSA is the leading European specialist in transmission technology, but we offer most international security certifications, and we are a reliable partner for thousands of global companies. Our ConnectGuard security portfolio provides customers with comprehensive protection in different network scenarios and brings numerous competitive advantages. ATSA, as a global market leader with strong visibility and trust among data center and network operators worldwide, is well positioned to further grow in this field. Slide 7, Internet Content Providers. The Internet Content Provider drives high volumes, but at more competitive pricing than other market segments. The Internet Content Providers drove a major share of our growth in 2015 and 2016. Our FSP 3000 Cloud Connect, an extension of the FSP 3000 platform specifically designed to interconnect large data centers, sets new standards in open optical transmission technology. The market launch came later than planned, and revenue contribution in 2017 fell short of expectations, but the platform is now evolving quickly. Inside and outside the ICP community, we have increased the number of customers for our FSP 3000 Cloud Connect offering from 16 in Q3 2017 to 41 in Q4. Within the ICP community, we are starting to expand our application space. Some of these new applications drive smaller revenue numbers, but increase our strategic importance within the community. Three of the top five global ICPs are currently buying our technology. Moving to slide eight, communication services providers. CSPs play a key role in the digitalization of society. They also represent the largest purchases of our equipment presently. They are long-term focused, and they need innovation, quality, and great support. The Internet of Things, autonomous driving, and the preparation for the fifth generation of mobile technology all require a robust and scalable telecommunications infrastructure with more fiber-based information superhighways, new models and automation for providing communication services, and more accurate network synchronization. In recent years, we have precisely addressed these aspects by making investments that are strategically important for the future of service provider networks. Our optical platform is more open, agile, and flexible than ever before. Operators can turn their high-capacity bit pipes into a software-defined resource pool that serves as the infrastructure for cloud-based networking. The virtualization of the network functions is changing the business models of network operators, enabling them to provide innovative and customer-optimized services globally. In addition to the FSP 150 product family, it is ADVA's Ensemble software solution that provides additional market differentiation. NFE is driving convergence in the markets for access solutions and expanding ADVA's addressable market. The strategic importance of synchronization technology continues to increase. The progressive expansion of mobile networks towards LTE Advanced 4.5 generation G, as well as the efforts of network operators to prepare for the fifth generation of mobile technology, 5G, exacerbate requirements regarding timing and frequency synchronization in networks. ADVA's AcciloQuartz product portfolio is industry-leading, winning numerous sync bid tenders in 2017 and promises to outperform revenue growth and margins in 2018. I would like to now hand over to Uli to move us through the financial part of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian, and hello, everybody. Let's move to slide number 10, quarterly IFRS revenue and pro forma profitability. As already stated, we ended Q4 2017 with revenues of 117.2 million euros. This result is within our revenue guidance range of 115 and 130 million euros and represents an increase of 5.5% compared to the 111.2 million euros in Q3 2017. Year over year, our revenues decreased by 8.4%. The change in customer and product mix, combined with successful cost reduction efforts, led to a strong gross margin of 36.2% compared to 33.1% in the year-ago quarter. These effects are also reflected in the strong pro forma operating income, which was in Q4 2017, 4.5 million euros or 3.8% of revenues. And this was above the midpoint of our guidance of between 0 and 5% of revenues. This compares to minus 0.8% in Q3 2017 and shows our strong return to profitability. Let's move to the next slide, please. Quarterly IFRS profitability. In Q4 2017, IFRS operating income was at 2.3 million or 2% of revenues, up from negative 11.5 million or minus 12.6% in Q3 2017. This result was impacted by 1 million euros restructuring expenses. Total costs of restructuring in 2017 accumulate to 9.4 million euros, leading to annualized cost savings in 2018 and beyond of about 20 million euros annualized. Similar to other companies, the US tax reform triggered a revaluation of our tax assets in North America, driving our Q4 2017 net income down to a negative 0.9 million euros or 0.8%. Income before tax effects is positive at 0.8 million euros. As the number of weighted average shares outstanding has not changed significantly, diluted EPS developed in proportion with IFRS net income to minus 2 cents per share. Next slide, please. Quarterly revenues per region. EMEA continued to deliver stable revenues of 58 million euros, representing 49% of our total revenues. As you remember, the Q3 revenue decrease in North America was caused by two customer-specific events. For Q4, we are pleased to see improved order volumes from one of these customers, supporting a sequential growth of 11% in this region. The strong MRV presence in Asia-Pacific resulted in a growth of 45% quarter-over-quarter and 15% year-over-year. We expect this region to become a strong contributor to ATLAS results in 2018. Next slide, please. Annual IFRS revenue and pro forma profitability. After several years of strong revenue growth, 2017 shows a decrease of 9% compared to the year-ago year, 2016. Clearly, we did not deliver on our revenue expectations. However, an improved product and customer mix, combined with a quick and aggressive restructuring program, secured a stable profitability of 3.8% of pro forma EBIT in 2017. Let's move to the next slide, annual revenues per region. EMEA contributed with 258 million of revenues in 2017, showing a slight increase of 2% compared to 2016. EMEA remains a stable contributor to our overall performance. Due to the aforementioned reasons, revenues in the Americas decreased by 20%, representing now 44% of total revenues in 2017. In Q4, we already experienced a slight return to growth again in this region, and we expect this momentum to continue throughout 2018. Despite the strong Q4 2017, Asia remains small at 6% of total revenues in 2017. As mentioned before, driven by the MRV acquisition, we expect this region to become more relevant in 2018. Let's move to slide 15, IFRS balance sheet. Overall net working capital of 124 million decreased compared to the 136 million reported at the end of Q3. While accounts receivables and accounts payables remained on a stable level, the increase of revenues in combination with lower purchasing volumes resulted in significantly lower inventory levels. This also reflects our improved Q4 net liquidity of negative 38.2 million compared to negative 44.1 million end of Q3 2017. Gross cash also increased to 58.4 million euros compared to the 57.2 million euros at the end of Q3, although at a lower level due to regular debt repayments of 4.7 million euros. Year over year, net liquidity decreased mainly due to the cash-based acquisition of MRV Communications. Out of the 96.6 million euros financial liabilities end of December 2017, 79 million euros relate to short-term financial obligations. This is mainly driven by a bridge loan used for the MRV acquisition in Q3 2017, which we will refinance via a long-term alternative within the next weeks. Equity ratio is up at 49% with a total stockholders' equity of 227 million. Next slide, please. Slide 16, guidance Q1 2018. For 2018, we expect a moderate single-digit percentage revenue growth and mid-single-digit pro forma EBIT. Due to uncertainties in timing and recognition effects in Q1 2018, we remain conservative in our guidance and consequently project Q1 2018 revenues of between 115 and 130 million euros, with pro forma operating income to range between -1% and +4% of revenues. We remain committed to a flexible cost and operating model that allows us to quickly adapt to changing market conditions. We will continue to drive operational efficiencies within all facets of our organization. We will continue to perform detailed reviews of the expected business developments in respect of all intangible assets, including capitalized development projects. In case of highly adverse business prospects, such a review may result in non-cash impairment charges in Q1 2018 and beyond. The pro forma operating income guidance we have provided today excludes any such potential impairment charges. Let's go to the next and final slide. In summary, in our 20-year history, we have had a few setbacks. They were mostly short-lived. We reacted promptly to the Q3 events by adjusting our cost structure and returning to profitability in Q4. Today, and thanks to the acquisition from MRV, we have more customers, better revenue diversification, and a broader solutions portfolio than ever before. The synergy effects with MRV are significant, with the acquisition being immediately accretive in 2018. With our realigned model, we have a solid foundation for growth and increased profitability in 2018. Thank you for participating in today's call. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to the operator to begin the Q&A portion of the call.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. Dear sir, your line is now open. Please introduce yourself. Your line is open. You can ask your question.
Okay, I'm going to assume you're talking to me. It's Tim Savager here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, very well, Tim.
Okay, great. Sorry. I had a couple questions. One sort of a housekeeping, which is if you could specify the contribution from MRV in the quarter, and it's sort of related. I know you had a partial quarter last time and a full quarter this time, and I assume that's sort of contributing to some of the uptick in Asia Pac. But I wonder if that's the same with regard to the strength you saw in Americas. Given that I wanted to kind of drill down further on your comments about expectations for continued momentum in the Americas region in 18 and what might be behind that.
Brian, do you want to take – I can take it.
Yes.
So theoretically, going forward, we will not – disclose any MRV numbers because it's going to be merged into our existing products and product lines. For Q4, I guess it's fair to say it was a typical MRV quarter, very strong in Asia Pac, solid in the US, and yes, it also contributed, of course, to the uptick in North America. But as mentioned during my part, we also had the increased order volume from this one specific customer who drove down the orders in Q3 by going through a merger.
Okay, and then I guess what I'd really like to do is follow up on the commentary about expectations for continued growth in 18, and what's driving that, you know, continued recovery in one of your, and you know, M&A impacted customers last year. You mentioned a little additional traction on the cloud side. Are there, you know, any material growth expectations there, or as you look at the Americas region heading forward, what is informing your expectation for continued momentum?
So let me grab that one, and that is, I guess, we are forecasting growth, but not rapid growth, just, you know, back to growth model with nice profitability. The growth drivers, we see, you know, Europe is being healthy. See lots of opportunities with our newest products in North America, specifically North America. And that's in everything from sync and timing to Ensemble to some of our latest products like the Cloud Connect, et cetera. So we see growth opportunities there. And in APAC, we have a better foundation with the MRV team on board, customer breadth, et cetera. So it's not a breakout growth year. It's just recovery to growth with increasing gross margins and better profitability is our message.
Right. And, you know, I guess mid-single digit wise, you know, organically, that's kind of a flattish expectation given the full year contribution of MRV relative to the partial year last year. Is that generally in the ballpark?
So I think it's a slight uptick to this, like the Q3, Q4. If you were to take MRV out, it's maybe a slight uptick. You know, MRV in any acquisition period, we got to go through. We forecasted slightly down revenues off of MRV and then growing again in the second year. So there's some synergy, you know, issues and some dis-synergy issues always with every acquisition. I think we're doing a great job at managing that, and we see a lot of opportunity for growth, but it's still forecast as discussed.
Got it. And last one from me. You made an interesting breakout of your business around cloud, carrier, and enterprise. And I guess my question is trying to distinguish how that carrier and enterprise breakdown matches up with the Ethernet access business. I assume that's mostly sort of delivered via carriers. And when you talk about enterprise, it's really within the optical business primarily, per se, in terms of, you know, transport platforms for DCI and financial institutions. But if you could, you know, provide any more color with regard to, you know, trends in the Ethernet access business as maybe distinct from what's happening in the enterprise on the optical transport.
So I guess there's a few things happening. Yeah, there's a few things happening there. Clearly, our carrier Ethernet business has been more carrier-focused. As we add now Layer 3 capabilities, so we're moving to dynamic routing capabilities and support, and as we bring the NFV architectures to market, they're enabling us to attack the new market segment, and that is kind of cloud access. Layered on top of that is security. And so big bit pipes access to the cloud, secure access to the cloud, is an area that we will get leverage from into enterprises and even potentially ICPs. So that market segment, we are looking at expanding that carrier Ethernet piece out beyond our carrier layer 2 focus to layer 2, layer 3, NFV, and as you had indicated, to our other market segments, our customer segments, both the enterprise and quite likely also the ICP area.
Okay, thanks very much. I'll pass it on.
So next question is from Robin Brass from Aug & Hofhäuser.
Yes, hello, and thank you. Thank you for taking my question or questions. One question concerning the US dollar. Do you see any headwinds here also relating to your revenues currently, or how does it also maybe affect the profitability at current rates, let's say? And secondly, you mentioned that you, of course, you look at the development of your business and possibly further cost cuts in case something like that would happen. But is there any cost cuts right now also still planned for Q1, or is this fully finished, I would say, now with Q4? And last but not least, the gross margin. Could we also assume that the contribution by MRV is also helping the gross margin 2018 as well? Thank you.
So to your first question, the US dollar impact with the acquisition of MRV, we are almost naturally hedged. So the impact of a weaker US dollar, I mean, you see it in the top line, but in terms of profitability, it's not that significant anymore.
Make a comment there, Uli?
Sure.
It does take our revenue top line down slightly.
Correct.
And if it benefits profitability, not much, but slightly up. So revenue's down, profitability slightly up. Is that correct, Uli?
That is correct. More cost cuts. This question, there will be some further smaller optimizations as we move along, but nothing significant, not that significant as we've seen in Q3. Maybe max like in Q4, this the 1 million we saw, but probably a little bit less.
And maybe one comment from my side on that is that you'll see less of, let's say, restructuring costs or something to that nature, but we are very conservative in our budgets, and we are continuing to optimize all spend throughout 2018 as we have committed to better profitability along the course. So you'll see us being very conservative, but we've made the major moves that you see from a P&L restructuring side of things in 2018, although some of those things still impact 2018. But they're not a bunch of new decisions coming down the pipeline. They've been made end of last year for our budgeting purposes in 2018.
Okay, thank you. And
the last
question,
one, the
gross margin? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Uli, you want to take that?
I can take it. Yeah, of course, MRV is supporting gross margins. MRV had a good gross margin, so customer structure is very good. Product mix is very good. So, yes, it's helping our gross margins.
This should continue at least throughout 2018, given the contracts with the customers, I would say, right?
Absolutely. As long as
okay.
we maintain or even increase the revenue levels, it will contribute nicely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My two cents is there are other things that have helped our gross margins, and they include clearly having lost a very large customer or one of the applications in one of our large customers that helped our average gross margins go up. Two is, yes, the U.S. dollar change does help our gross margins. We buy a lot in dollars. We sell in other currencies as well. So that helps the gross margin. But in addition to that, so those three points are all important. We are selling some of our newer products have much higher gross margins, including OscilloQuartz and some of the product software solutions. So those product areas, as they start to impact our top line more in 2018, are also helping us to support gross margin evolvement. So there are a number of positive influential pieces to our gross margin story.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. The next question we got is Rob Sanders, Deutsche Bank. Line is now open.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. My first question was just on the MRV synergies. You know, how far along are you in terms of, taking out cost out of that business and how much more cost savings can you deliver from the current Q1 level? I have a few follow-ups.
So we are pretty far along. So I would say the majority is done. There's another major step in happening beginning of Q2 when we roll out our Adware application landscape into the MRV organization. There will be some further optimizations and synergies realized, but as I said, the majority is done. But over the course of the years, while we merge product lines and integrate features, you will see ongoing optimizations, but the majority will definitely be done after Q2 this year.
Great. And the second question would just be on your, maybe you said it, but I missed it, but what was your ICP mix in the fourth quarter, and what do you think it will be in Q1?
So it was in the high single digits in Q4, and should be pretty much the same in Q1. However, there are a few opportunities that Brian mentioned, and so this could bump it up a little bit, but we need to see.
Okay, and then the last one would just be, given that ICP is much smaller today than it was, how should I think about seasonality for 2018 for this business as a whole with MRV? Because in the past, you know, you had a seasonally soft Q3, but then in the last few years you'd had stronger Q3s. How should I think about this year's seasonality, assuming you do a flattish year in revenue? How should it break up between Q1 and 2, 3, and 4? Thanks.
So I would say we probably return a little bit to the pre-ICP seasonality. So you will not, most likely will not see the strong increase in Q2 and Q3. It should flatten out a little bit. But Q1 will definitely be probably the weakest quarter, and then we should see a nice increase Q2, Q3, and hopefully also Q4. But that the large peaks will not be there unless some of these opportunities Brian was talking about will materialize and will contribute significantly.
Got it. So Q1 the weakest, Q2 up, then down for Q3, and then hopefully Q4 will be the highest in the year. Is that fair?
If we would know Q3 yet, but we of course hope that also Q3 will be up. But as said, we will probably not see the major peaks we've seen in the ICP years 2016 and 15.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. We have no further questions for the moment. I'll hand back to the speakers.
Okay, Brian, did you want to say any closing remarks? If not, I guess we thank everybody for joining today's call. We will make a recording and a transcript available. And thank you very much for your interest and attention. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your participation. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.